Hello, everybody.
This week's parsha is parsha Behar Mechukesai, and the parsha begins with the mitzvah of Shemitah, the Klal Yisrael's command to let the land rest for an entire year, every seventh year. And then the Torah tells us that after seven cycles of Shemitah, we have the mitzvah of Yovel, a higher level of Shemitah, so to speak, an extra year of not working the land, sending back all the slaves, and to give back all the lands that were, you know, the Eretz Achuzah, which is the inheritance rights to people, an entire reset of the whole country. Now, what's interesting, though, is that Shemitah is something which is relevant even nowadays. Even though a majority of the Jewish people is not living in Eretz Yisrael, any Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, who owns a piece of land, there's still a mitzvah to let it rest every seventh year. Yovel, however, the Torah tells us, is only relevant when the majority of the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. When the Jewish nation, so to speak, as a whole, is back in Eretz Yisrael, then the mitzvah of Yovel is relevant. Whereas now, unfortunately, we do not have the mitzvah of Yovel. And the question is, why this distinction? Why is it that Shemitah is relevant even nowadays on any individual Jew living in Eretz Yisrael, whereas Yovel is dependent on the collective nation of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael? So, in order to understand this, you have to clarify three things. Number one, what makes a person able to do a mitzvah, what gives a person the ability to do a mitzvah, what makes a person sometimes have a difficulty doing a mitzvah, a lot of times depends on the madriga, the level of holiness a person is on. For example, if a person stays up a whole Matzei Shabbos watching stupid movies, then on Sunday mornings he finds it sometimes very difficult to come to Shacharis, because it's not that the Shacharis changed. The Shacharis is the same as it was last week, but he has sunk in into certain levels, and now davening is less inspirational, the chazan is more annoying, but really the thing that's changing is the tumah inside him has dragged him down. And vice versa, if a person learns for a half hour before Shacharis, a lot of times he finds that the Shacharis is more inspirational, he connects to it more, because the Kedusha inside him has grown, and now his neshama is more engaged, and his body is more in tune with his neshama, and he has an easier time doing the mitzvahs. That's step one. Step two, we have to recognize that Yovel and Shemitah are extremely difficult mitzvahs. Reb Zalman Sarovskin says that when he was the Rav in Slutsk and other places, right, part of his job as a Rav was to go to the Jewish storekeepers on Friday afternoons and sometimes close to sundown on Friday and push them and convince them to try to close their stores for Shabbos. A lot of people, you know, they weren't necessarily so inspired by Yiddishkeit. And unfortunately, people gave him a lot of pushback. They wanted to keep their stores open on Shabbos. And he says, can you imagine having to convince people, like we see nowadays, to try to convince farmers in Eretz Yisrael? It's very difficult. It's a big ask. A guy has to literally close up shop for an entire year and just trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything he needs will be taken care of for the coming year. It's an extremely difficult thing. Now, Yovel is more than that. First of all, Yovel is the second year. You spent an entire 49th year not working your land, and now we're asking you to do it again for another year. But besides that, it's more than that. Yovel requires to send back all the evidivries, to send back the land. If you bought a land from somebody and it was his inheritance, he has to go back to him. You have to start from scratch. There's a lot of aspects of Yovel which really require a person to let go and to say, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know how this is going to happen, but you're going to make it work. You told me to do this. And number three, says Zalman Sarovskin, there's another thing we have to understand, which is that a lot of times things that separately are on one level of Kedusha, when you combine them, they're higher. For example, a person is withholding his tefillin in his backpack or in his suitcase, right? And he has to go to the bathroom in the airport or whatever it may be. So ideally, you put in the double bag and you keep it, you know, protected, so to speak, in double wrapping. But let's say a person doesn't have it. Still, we allow a person to take his tefillin into the bathroom to keep his tefillin safe, you know, from being stolen. However, a person wearing his tefillin is not allowed to go to the bathroom. Okay, now what's the difference? The person's the same person. The tefillin's the same tefillin. Says the Zalman Sarovskin, the difference is very simple. You see, a yid is kaddish and a tefillin are kaddish. But when you put the two together, it's a whole different level of magnitude. Now you have a yid wearing tefillin, and that's something much, much higher. Okay, so now let's take these three components and put them all together. Okay, we have a mitzvah of Shemitah. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. And we see that Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, still struggles with it and many other mitzvahs like that. However, when you take a yid and you put him in Eretz Yisrael, there's two beautiful kedushas. There's the yid who's holy, there's Eretz Yisrael that's holy, and those things are going to help the yid overcome the struggle and the nesayin of the mitzvah, and he'll do it and he'll be able to succeed. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu can ask any yid who's living in Eretz Yisrael to fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah, because he has that ability, he's on a higher level, he has that kedusha of the Eretz and kedusha of the yid, and he'll be able to do it. However, the mitzvah of Yovel is so difficult says Rizalman Sarutskin, that it takes the combination of the entire Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, which brings out such a level of Kedusha, because when you have the Klal Yisrael together, living in Eretz Yisrael, you have that combo, then everyone goes to such a level of Madrega, of Kedusha, and they can be asked and demanded to keep Yovel at a higher level. And that's why Yovel is only relevant and only being demanded of Klal Yisrael once the nation as a whole is living in Eretz Yisrael, once they're on that high Madrega of Klal Yisrael unified in Eretz Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can demand that they act on that level of Emunah B'Tachon. But I think for ourselves, it's a very important message over here, is obviously besides for understanding the importance of living Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of a Yid, but number two is that to recognize this idea that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, it's only difficult if we're sunken in Tumah. The higher we are in our Madrega, the higher we work on elevating our Kedusha, the more and easy the mitzvahs become. Later on in the Parsha, tells us that v'chisasig yad ger v'toshav. You have a non-Jew who's living in Eretz Yisrael, he's a ger v'toshav, he keeps the seven Noahide laws, and he becomes very wealthy. And the Jew, meanwhile, becomes poor, and the ger v'toshav acquires the Jew. And Torah tells us the laws of how to try to redeem the Jew from his hands of his non-Jew. So Rashi tells us in Medrash, what's this connection between the ger v'toshav and the Jew becoming poor? Says Rashi, because you know what caused this ger, this non-Jew, to become rich and prosper? Because he's hanging out with the Jews. And you know what caused this Jew to go down in his assets and become poor and need to be sold into slavery, says Rashi? Because he's hanging out with the non-Jew. Now, that's the Medrash. The Netziv in Sefer HaMikdavar, he asked the question that seemingly, you know, which one is it, right? We have the non-Jew is getting richer and the Jew is getting poorer from being together. So how does it work? So he explains as follows. He says, why is a non-Jew getting richer by hanging out with the Jews? Which particular mitzvah and good thing did he learn from the Jews? He says, well, Jews are famous for being very, very kind, for having rachmanis, for being merciful, and for always doing kindness and helping other people out. And the non-Jew, when he's in the Jewish neighborhood, he starts to learn about gemachs and chesed and charity events, and he begins to become more of a rachman. And the reality is, says the Netziv, that when a person is kind to other people, kol hamarachim alabrius, anybody who's nice to people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we're going to be merachim on you, we're going to be nice to you from Shemayim, and that's why this non-Jew began to prosper. Because he was nice to people around him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started giving him, in return, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him parnasa as well, and got him rich. Okay, says Netziv, but how does that work for the Jew? You see, the Jew, he may have learned from the non-Jew to start, you know, maybe not being so careful with what he eats, maybe not being so careful what he looks at, not being so careful what he listens to. He may have done a lot of avarice from the non-Jew, but why do his assets shrink? Seemingly, he's having a good effect on the non-Jew. He's making him more of a merachim. He's making him more of a good person. So why is a Jew's assets shrinking? So Netziv says, it's brought in Sefer Ruach Al Yo, Meir Peites. Netziv says a very, very fundamental point, which is like this. He says that we know that in life, right, there's different levels in this world. You have animals, you have people, you have rocks, you have trees. He says, now, let's take an animal versus a person for a second. Obviously, a person is in a higher level. A person has a mind, he has a seichel, he has a neshama, and a person is much more advanced than the animal. However, if, God forbid, a person loses his seichel, for example, a person has severe dementia, God forbid, or even a child, when he's born and the child's mind is not developed, at that point, he's actually worse off than the animal. He's not equal to the animal. He doesn't go down one notch. He goes down more than that. Because what happens is that when a person has a maila, a specific attribute which makes him better, when he loses that, he goes down all the way to the bottom. That's why a person, God forbid, who doesn't have his mind, he doesn't have the level of an animal which has instincts and has, you know, certain natural reactions to keep itself out of danger. A person actually can harm himself and get into much worse ways. Says in Netziv, a non-Jew who learns to be kind and nice, because that's what everyone else around him is doing, he's fine. He's going to be great, and his chesed is going to be good, and he's going to get schar for that chesed because he's doing good, normal chesed. But a Jew has a higher madrega. A Jew is given a neshama, it's connected to Kisei HaKavod. A Jew is given a mind that's supposed to connect to Torah and connect to Ruchnius. And a Jew's chesed has to come through his maila. It has to come through his connection to Torah and Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a Jew severs that, when he learns from a non-Jew to just do chesed because it's a social norm and to be nice to everyone, he starts to have perverted chesed and messing up his chesed. And he can't even do the same chesed as a non-Jew, which unfortunately we see very much in the world around us, that when Jews are detached from their maila, from their connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah, they don't do normal chesed like everyone else does, like a goyim do. The Christians are doing normal chesed, and the non-firm Jew, unfortunately, is doing perverted chesed because he's sunk lower. And that's a very, very, very important thing for us to remember always, is that there's no life without being connected to Torah. A Jew's essence, his maila, who he is defined by his connection to Torah. And if he severs that, if he doesn't connect to it, he ends up all the way lower down, far worse than the non-Jew. In Parshas Bechukosai, the Parsha begins with the words, "In Bechukosai Tilechu, if you will go in my chukim, my laws." And Rashi asks the obvious question, why is this the expression of going? And Rashi explains that it's referring to the idea that besides for learning Torah and for knowing Hashem's Torah, there's an obligation for a person to be amel, to toil, and to push himself to learn Torah. It's not enough to simply just know it. You have to engage in it, and you have to invest in it and push yourself in it. Well, there's an interesting Ruach Chaim in the Perek Kinyan Torah. He's talking about the different attributes a person has to have to accept a Torah and to acquire a Torah. And he says, on the Midah of Kabbalas HaYisurim, of accepting Yisurim, difficulties, troubles. And he says like this, he says that we understand that every person unfortunately, messes up. Every person does Averis once in a while. And everybody unfortunately has to have their share of Kapara, has to have their share of atonement and things that are going to cause them troubles to get that atonement. He says though, that there's a very, very good, so to speak, loophole a person has to be aware of. You see, when a person pushes himself to learn Torah, a person wakes up early in the morning and he's tired and he rips himself out of bed and it's not comfortable and he is tired, but he pushes himself past it. Or a person staying up late at night to learn Torah and he's tired and he wants to just rest and veg out on the couch, and instead he pushes himself to learn Torah. Or if the learning itself is difficult, it's hard to understand, it's not super exciting and engaging, and he pushes himself to focus and to try to understand it and to get it clear. When a person exerts himself like that, says the Ruach Chaim, he can now double dip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will count that exertion, that frustration, and that effort he had to put, that will count for him as his Yisurim. It will give him the atonement as if he suffered something else, God forbid. And he'll get the schar, he'll get the reward for pushing himself to learn Torah and all the benefits a person gets for Amelus B'Torah itself. So he says basically it's a win-win. If a person can choose to avoid having Yisurim and he can get the schar from Amelus B'Torah, why not do that? Let's push ourselves to learn and then we'll get exempt from everything else. And I'll tell you the truth, I actually unfortunately happen to have seen this in real time myself. Over Benes Manim, after Pesach, my kollel in the afternoons didn't start yet. We had a week off, and I figured I'll get all my errands done then. I'll try to get some time, do some downtime and relax. And that week, I'm telling you, more things happened to me than ever before. My car battery died, then I got a flat tire, then I had an issue with my back. Every single day was a new story. I told my wife, I'm telling you, Hashem's telling me, you can either pay it one way or the other. Either going to be learning and pushing yourself to learn even though you're tired, or you're going to be dealing with headaches. And I always say, it's something which is such an easy win. It's such an easy way to get worth it. It's a waste not to take advantage of it. So I want to end off with one last thought. Towards the end of the parasha, we're given the mitzvah of Meiser Behema, of taking off a tenth every time a person has a flock or a herd of animals. Every year there's new animals are born. And a person has to take off one, every tenth animal is taken off. And the person has to take that animal and slaughter it and eat it, the meat, in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And the chinuch on this mitzvah says, the idea behind this obligation to take food and eat in Yerushalayim, we find the same thing with Ma'aser Sheni, and at the Ravai, that there's halacha that you can keep it for yourself, you're not giving it away to the Levium, to the poor people, you're eating yourself, but you have to make sure to eat it in Yerushalayim. He explains the idea behind it as follows, because he says, obviously the average person and most people are going to spend most of their day engaged in regular, mundane, everyday life. But there's going to be people in Yerushalayim, the people at Kehanim, these people are going to be people who are going to be focused on Avodas Hashem, on serving Hashem, and getting closer to Hashem, and Torah and Yira. And every person has to take time to connect himself to that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says here, you're going to have 10% of your assets, you're going to have to use them and eat them in Yerushalayim. So a guy's going to make sure to go and spend time there on Sukkot, spend time there on Pesach, on Shavuos, and other times, so he can be there in Yerushalayim to eat his Ma'aser Sheni, to eat his Ma'aser Behema. And when he's hanging out in Yerushalayim using those foods, he's going to be stuck there, and he's going to spend time, whether it's in Kail, schmoozing with people and learning, getting a connection to people, and he's going to slowly grow and have that connection to Yiddishkeit, a connection to Ruchnius. And he says, even if a person himself doesn't have enough time to use all his Ma'aser Sheni himself, or to use all his Ma'aser Behema himself, what he's going to do is someone in his family, every family's going to have one guy, or two people, who they're going to support with all their Ma'aser Sheni, and he's going to be the one using that and eating that on their behalf in Yerushalayim. And then what's going to happen is that every family is going to have somebody who's going to be there to inspire them on a personal level. Because see, what happens is, if let's say everybody stays everywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, and there's just a bunch of holy people in Yerushalayim, then it doesn't trickle down to anybody else. Everybody has to have a personal connection to somebody who's engaged in Ruchnius and Yiddishkeit, and that drags everyone up as a whole. And that, says the Chinuch, is the idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu came up with, so to speak. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us with the idea of Ma'aser Behema, Ma'aser Sheni, which is that this way every single person in Klal Yisrael will be forced to have some connection to somebody who's willing to dedicate himself to Ruchnius overall. And I think it's a good point for all of us to think about, is that we have to find somebody in our lives who we can constantly be rubbing shoulders with, who's going to inspire us, who's going to make us closer. I know that I learn in the mornings in the Chicago Community Kollel. And there's Kollel there of David Zucker. He's Adam Gadol. And the fact that I'm there in the mornings means that if I see him the whole way, I can ask him a shayla, I can watch him learning. And it just makes it easier because I'm around him, I see him, and that makes it natural, you know, it gives me a natural opportunity to grow and to get inspired by him. And so too with anybody else around you. Every person has to make sure to try to rub shoulders and to spend some time with people who can inspire them. And then hopefully we can all continue to grow. We should all have a wonderful Shabbos. And obviously all of our tefillahs, and we should keep davening that the Yidden Eretz Yisrael should have shalom, shalva, everything should go calm down, everything should be well, and everyone should be kept safe, and all of the Reitzchim should be taken care of, and a good work should be Shemar Am Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos.